Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, it's me, it's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of being sensation of innovation, the leader of the five-time World Sand Series champion, SoCab Republic Nation. And joining me today is a man who's on time, who's winded his clock to ensure he's on time. Down the rabbit hole we go with Mr. Gary Altman. Welcome to ABL Poddemic number 18. Will Gary be on time this weekend? Survey says he will. Altman, welcome. Let me put you on the spot. Will you make the playoffs, yes or no? Go.
Yes.
Dun dun dun. Gary is now officially going to finish in sixth place behind Fuck Jersey. Welcome, Gary. Last time we had a little, you know, technical difficulties with the internet, if you will. But today we seem to be ready and rock and rolling here. We will discuss. I believe, Gary, we have a lot of things to talk about today. We have predictions to do. We have previews to do. We have injuries to cover, and quite frankly, we are just two sims away from, I believe, the start of the 18th Adult Baseball League season. Are you excited?
Absolutely. Can't wait to get this season started. Postseason, way too long. But, I mean, not for Havana, of course. He's still basking in the glow of his championship.
I need to send a picture of the mug. I retailored the Havana mug over the weekend, so that needs to be sent to the list ASAP. I will not confirm nor deny that I put tape across it that says "fuck Havana," but we'll see, because I don't want to ruin the actual mug by writing "fuck Havana." But there is a piece of tape over it right now that says "fuck Havana." But either way, Gary, we are ready to start the 2029 ABL Adult Baseball League season. I cannot be more – I mean, I'm fucking enthusiastic about my team. I'm enthusiastic to see what happens. I just want to get into what I think was the biggest news of last sim. And, no, that's not any trades Troy made. I'm not sure if he made any trades. I didn't check. I'm assuming there was a couple of them. So, yeah, no real news.
Right.
We like to cover hot topic issues here on Poddemic. I would love your opinion, but the Columbus Aces, and you know where I'm going with this, with the Columbus Aces losing Sadasasu Hayagawa for 4 months for 20 to 25 starts. He will be their free agent trade deadline acquisition for sure, but can they, Gary, and like I said, I'm just going into it, can they maintain a pace that will ensure them a chance to make the playoffs this season? Because this is a huge loss. Huge.
I think the only thing that will determine it is at what point Gould join him on his vacation, his European vacation.
So if Columbus is going to have a chance, Gould is going to have to go deep into the fountain of youth, which apparently, you know, as proven through the history of this league, the 43-year-old Maurice Doughboy Gould, he's the only one that knows where it is, clearly. He's pitched decent in spring. He's given up 7 runs over 12. Not great, not horrible. Tuned to a 4.5 ERA. You know, like a mid-rotation guy, but at 43, if you have a mid-rotation guy, you're doing fucking amazing. Who's that old guy in the baseball league? He was a left-hander who just pitched for everybody. He threw like 20 miles per hour. Played on the Phillies, the Mariners. I can't remember his name.
Jamie Moyer.
There you go. He's going to have to do his greatest Jamie Moyer impersonation. As of right now, OSA ranks them 12th in starting pitching. And once Hayagawa is disabled... Yeah. Well, just overall, I mean, you got to remember, he has Hayagawa, he has Gallegos. No. Hayagawa's top 5, obviously. But he has Hayagawa, Gallegos, Sato, Gold, Finley, who get him to a top 12 ranking. And, you know, with those... Huh?
What list are you looking at?
I'm just looking at his Meet the Team page, where the list lists him overall. The game has him listed at 12th overall. starting rotation. And, you know, and like I said, with Haigawa, with Gallegos and Sato, with Haigawa, Gallegos and Sato, they're, you know, Gould, I can buy the 12th because he has two top five guys. Now, that's going to drop him to 20th, though, I would imagine. All he's going to have is Gallegos, whose stamina has been a concern and brought up by the new general manager, who I believe it's Gene. If not, I apologize. We've got a couple new guys. I'm trying to get the head straight. But Columbus is very interesting because they have Greg Finley at 24, Gary. They have Yujiro Suzuki at 23. He's going to have to, you know, rely on two out of two-and-a-half-star kids to, you know, try to make a difference this year. He's not running with a traditional closer. He's running with Palmer and Leon, dual threading it, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. But Columbus is just such an interesting point because we've talked about for a few years now, Gary. He's had McGowan.
Yeah, he can't go by that yet because he doesn't have anybody in his closer spot yet. He hasn't filled that spot in on his home page.
I'm just assuming, though. Palma and Leon are very similar. He's probably going to go Palma. Palma's been his closer for a while. I was only trying to make a point.
Yeah, but you can't assume that if he doesn't have it in yet.
Gary, we talked about this on Lost Podcast. You may not have heard it. Anything and everything said on ABL Pod, damn it, is an approximation. It is an approximation.
We don't talk in absolutes here. Absolutely not.
We do not. I'm not trying to get myself fired, okay? All kidding aside, I mean, you just looking to meet the team page, Gary, and we will cover the ABL as a whole, but Columbus I did want to touch on a little bit longer than some of the other teams because Columbus, a.k.a. Montreal, has been in it forever. Christian had kept that team in it forever. We may be seeing, over the next 2 or 3 years, the final tear-down attempt that Columbus needs to take. Now, I'm not sure because when you have a $200-plus million payroll, you can kind of buy your way in free agency to be a competitive team. But Columbus may be reaching that point where they're going to have to make a very difficult decision, Gary, on what direction they really want to go.
Every team faces that at some point. I mean, look at Kansas City. They're still holding on to, you know, into their past. You know,
had Kansas City moved some of their pieces, and I've always talked to Irvin about this, giving him some hard time. His players were so good at the time he had them. Had he moved one of them, he could have really reshuffled. But, you know, he's going to have four guys go into the Hall of Fame. He legitimately is.
Maybe.
Oliver North, Matt, Kurt Hall, and Tom McCarthy should all be first ballot, or not first ballot, but they should all get in the Hall of Fame. Their statistics, if you go look on the ABL leaderboards, are freaking top five in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but if they're first ballot Hall of Famers, that means people got to believe, or they don't have to think anymore that, well, you know, being a first ballot Hall of Famer, I'm going to leave them off the ballot, because nobody should get in on the first ballot, and if everybody does that, nobody gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, well, I'm getting a little reverb feedback, Gary, but yeah, no, Irvin's going to hang his hat on this group with two championships, four Hall of Famers, probably, and that is an absolutely fantastic 15 to 20-year run, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Especially with a competitive nature. Yeah.
I just don't know if we get them in on the first ballot. I don't know if they're
I was speaking in approximations again, Gary.
If they don't get in on the first ballot, maybe they don't get in at all because then people don't vote for them because, you know, only the truly greats get in on the first ballot.
Well, you know.
You know, and then there's the mindset that, you know, now that they're retired in our league, it's 3 years before you get on the ballot, that somehow they compile new stats. They compile new stats when they're retired. That makes them more Hall of Fame eligible in their second year than it was first year.
Gary, now you are speaking in absolutes. You are now speaking in absolutes, Gary. You are absolutely frustrating me. Because I've never bought that. I'm all for letting them be elected the first year. And we've talked about this offline. I've talked about it with other people offline. Like, these guys, if they don't get in, it's silly. In my opinion, a lot of these guys, because while they don't have the 3,000 hits or the blah, 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 the 500, whatever, like, these are, like, the best players in our league's history. So while, like, they may not have traditional Hall of Fame stats based on major league standards, these are the best players our league has ever seen. So it's kind of
– I agree. You know.
It's kind of weird. There are
some that want the elite of the elite. You know, you got to really earn it to get in. Yeah, I get that.
But so then it's Gould by himself.
What I don't understand is the people that will intentionally leave somebody off a ballot so they're not either unanimous or go in on the first ballot. That I don't understand. Some badge of honor that, hey, I got in on the first ballot and you got in on the second ballot. I mean, again, nobody's compiling any more stats. Nobody's compiling any more home runs or wins or strikeouts or RBIs. So if you were good enough to get in the first time, then you're good enough to get in. You shouldn't have to wait a year.
So I'm going to be today putting out an email. I've been working on it this morning, but I haven't had a lot of time lately. I'm going to be doing a best of the rest free agent starting nine. Can they make the playoffs? Where would they finish in the division? I think it'll be a fun conversational piece. Now, what I do want to get to, Gary, is we didn't get to talk about the preseason predictions, which I can't find. It's probably in Slack somewhere. But we didn't talk about the actual season predictions. And, you know, we don't have to run through the playoffs yet if you don't want to, but I'd love your take on some of these divisional races so far. It's funny. We have the Eurekas, you know, in you, for example, in Havana, all just 8-12, and we all know you should all win or compete to win your division this year, coming up season. Yeah.
I could care less what they say.
Well, I'm
not playing to the win-loss record on spring training.
Okay. Well,
never have.
Okay. Well, I'm not debating whether you should be. I'm just kind of looking at it. I just find it interesting that a lot of the bad teams are probably the teams that are going to win the division. I am interested, though, Gary, in your take on the divisional races this upcoming season. And we've already touched on Columbus, so let's stay in the William Atterbury division, if you don't mind. Do we see anyone other than Havana, do you think, having a shot in hell to win that division, other than 60% of his rotation going down? Because I don't see it. I think it's Havana winning 110, and I think it's not close.
And Havana's going to win. I don't see Brooklyn challenging him. Brooklyn took a little bit of a step back this offseason. And where I'm talking about taking a step back is on the offseason summary by team, looking at that page. And he lost three WAR over last year.
Yeah.
So he finished last year 7 back, and he lost 3. And Havana lost 2.4. So I'm going to say I'm not going to see any difference. And Havana signed that free agent, that $20 million guy.
Santiago. I just looked at his stats. Haven't been wonderful, but it's his first time ever playing.
No, he has no stats. He has no stats.
I'm talking about his spring training stats.
Oh.
Yeah, he's in 12 innings, he's given up 10 runs, 3 homers, 6 walks, struck out 11. It's not really a lot to tell. It's spring training. He's never played before, technically, in our league.
I think he needs to go to AAA. My scout has him 2.5, 2.5. OSA has him 3.3. Yeah, I think he needs a little game time and I think a little AAA time to see what the guy's about.
You ready for a shocker? I have him at 3.5. So basically, star review per usual. I hope it works out for Havana. They paid a lot of money for the kid.
Him and Jersey. Jersey was the other one who got one of those big.
Saucedo hasn't done. Saucedo hasn't done much either. It's Havana's to lose, man. I don't see anyone even stepping up to him being any. You know, I think Havana wins by 20 games this year. Easy. I just don't see anyone else in that division being able to compete with him over 162. The depth of Havana, the overall strength, 1-26 of Havana. Looking at it right now, they are above and beyond the rest of the entire ABL, really, for the most part.
Yeah, Havana should win 100 games this year. I'm seeing a few more 100-win teams this year. I see Brooklyn getting in. I see Manhattan Beach getting in. I see Columbus on the outside looking in.
Would you have Hayagawa being healthy for the entire season, those 25 extra starts, would you have given the nod to Columbus there, or would you have thought he wouldn't have made it regardless?
I think that definitely makes a difference.
Yeah. There's no doubt that that makes a difference. But yeah, put a fork in Amin's toast. Pass the salt. All
right, let's go to the let's catty corner it to another division that neither one of us participate in, the Sparky Anderson division. Last year we had Eureka take that division. Georgia made the playoffs. Portland surprisingly made the playoffs. They went on a run and did fantastic. Do we see anything changing this year? Georgia, Portland, Kansas, Eureka. Does anyone else challenge those three? I don't really see it. Quebec maybe, but I mean,
I see Quebec taking a step up.
Okay.
I see Quebec taking a step up. I see Mile High rebounding. Mile High is not as bad as they were last year, but they're not as good as they were the year before. So
right.
they're gonna move up to that 500 number. Kansas City, fuck KC. I'm sorry. Hashtag fuck KC. So that's where I see that going, but I still see it as a battle for 4 through 7. Eureka, Georgia, Portland, I don't see much of a change in.
Nor do I. I pretty much have them top to bottom the exact same. I mean, I don't know what I have 4 through 7, but.
I haven't gone 1 through 7 yet, but I can. I see two tiers in that. I see that division much like your division.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and transition to my division really quickly because your division I do want to get a little deeper into. SoCal, Seattle, Duke, Las Vegas, with Dallas bringing it up a little bit. Chicago, for whatever reason, was waiving and not re-signing and getting rid of talent, so I don't know what he's doing. San Diego, I think, finishes last probably. Chicago. Do you have any inclination to who might win this division?
Yeah, I think the evil empire is going to squeak by this year. After that, I see Duke and Las Vegas battling it out for second and third. I see no changes in the top three. Seattle, I can see closing the gap. Dallas, I can see closing the gap significantly. I could see Dallas at 500.
I could see Dallas at 500 as well, but that would mean five teams above 500 in our division, and I just don't see it.
Well, Seattle was under 500 last year, so there's no guarantee that he's going to do that. And looking at this, Seattle went backwards this offseason, losing 4.3 WAR. Dallas picked up 0.4.
Breaking news. I don't know if I'm supposed to break it or not, but I'm going to go ahead and say it as a little bonus to you who are listening to our podcast.
Why don't we make that a teaser and we wait for the first 30 minutes to go through, and then anybody listening live will get that.
Yes.
Otherwise, everybody else has to wait until it's posted.
So the last, 5 seconds or something of the live?
Yeah, keep it in the last 15 minutes. So just hang on to it for another 10, 11 minutes. I'll let you know when to give the breaking news.
Okay. It's kind of not, officially known throughout ABL circles, but I'm privy to trade talks that I will just say are revolving a team.
That's
in the
okay.
ABL, so I've given you a lot of information.
Okay, so you managed to sidetrack this discussion. Congratulations. Dallas, I can see making up 10 games and catching Seattle somewhere along the way.
Interesting.
Well, what do you have to do to make up 10 games? You got to be 5 better, and the other team's got to be 5 worse, and that's 10 games. So we're not talking that it's, wow, he's 10 games better and the other team is 10. I'm not saying that they're switching spots in
right.
that Seattle won 79 and Chicago and Dallas won 69 last year. I'm not saying they're reversing. I'm saying he's catching. There's a difference. Chicago, San Diego, I don't think can catch Dallas. And San Diego is 8 behind Dallas. So
San Diego may have the worst record in the league this year.
He might, but he's not catching Dallas. So, and I don't think he's 18 in behind Chicago. As much as Chicago's taken a drop back, I don't see him catching Chicago. So the bottom of the division is going to be San Diego, Chicago, Seattle, Dallas, and then the top three.
He did manage. He did manage to give Tom Cassidy, the 33-year-old, an $84 million contract over the next 4 years. So there's that.
There you go.
Okay, we'll leave it there because I'm going to go off on a tangent.
Shocking.
Now let's get to your division now. Where the Maple Marauders won the division last year briefly over the San Francisco Earthquakes and South Carolina Bombers. Cabos, Jacksonville, Bloomington, they all rounded it out. Jersey had a huge first half and then did Jersey things the second half. Your division should be very competitive. Your top three should be the best top three in the league, bar none, without question, not even close. Don't even try to make the argument to anybody in the league because it's not true. Can't make an argument. There's no argument to be made. And this, remember, oh, damn it, we talked in an approximate. You can't approximate shit. This is just fact. The top three teams in your division are by far the best three teams on your side, probably three of the best five teams in the league. It should be fun. All three of you teams have a chance at 100 games. I would say all three of you teams get to 95. I think you absolutely beat up on everybody else in your division personally. Do you think South Carolina has a chance to take the division for the first time since 2018? And give me a second because I need to – grab a glass of water because my throat is just killing me.
Well, I put out last night or early this morning in the early morning hours my press release for this season. I did an audio because I just didn't feel like typing it. At the last half of that is the my predictions for my division. What I predicted for my division is that there is a chance for three teams to win 100 games. In the division, and that three teams will win 100 games. Wow. Dead air.
Dead air. I apologize. No, I was literally getting some. I had to walk and get a glass of water.
He walked away. I didn't even realize he walked away. No, I can picture three teams winning 100 games in my division. You got Maple, who won 98 last year. If his pitching comes up a little bit better, he should be there. But
you know
San Francisco
why?
Had a great offseason. Sam, just,
you know why
just,
I don't think three teams 100 games though? Because because the schedule was reversed, and I do think we are the best two divisions again this year, and I think we'll take wins away from each other. Even though you guys won by far more
because
games against our division than your last division
in baseball. It's been proven.
Yeah. Been proven.
There's no discussion there.
There is absolutely zero discussion there. Your team, your division is by far the best.
There's pretenders, and then you got us, the contenders. But all kidding aside, San Francisco had a great offseason. They ended up going up 7 WAR. They won 96 last year and were just 2 behind Maple. Maple lost 2. They're up 1.7 this year, but they lost 2 so far with Oscar Hunt. They get Oscar Hunt. They come back to possibly another 100-win team. That leaves mine with 93. Last year, my starting staff was about 0.6 or 0.7 ERA below where they were the season before. Bullpen was ranked 10th the season before last year. And it's a much better bullpen now with Aaron Taylor in it for the full season some of the other guys I got. So I look at what my pitching is, and I think my pitching can pitch much better and to the tune of bringing me up 7 games. Now, once you have those three teams at 100 wins, it really doesn't matter how you slice and dice them. Somebody's going to win the division, and it's no clear-cut favorite even if you didn't win the division. If three teams win 100 games, which would be unprecedented.
Ron just reported in the chat room that he's getting lots of reverb. I'm coming through your speaker. I can't hear it that well. I guess they're hearing it on your end.
It's got to be on my end. It's probably my speaker.
Damn, Ron, stop wanting everything fucking perfect. Jeez, Ron. Stop being so nitpicky, man. Got to
well,
be perfect,
you know,
for Ron.
It's nothing. It's not like he came in and said anything, you know, 20 minutes ago when we started. Thanks, Ron.
This is true. Yeah, thanks, Ron. You know, there's a couple big keys and big points that I think. Excuse me, I'm getting my tongue twisted. Go figure. A couple big facts and a couple big plays each one of your teams made that could decide the division. Maple grabbing Greer. I think if he played every day, which I don't think he will, he did like 50 home runs there. You getting the anti-theft device in Smitsky will help. San Francisco really continuing to balance out their team as a whole. It's going to help. They signed Cummings back. They traded for a catcher. You know, he addressed some weaknesses. Now, Jonathan Martin, I believe, let me go to his page. I believe he's still out for a couple months. And he's going to have to go with the Express, man. Yeah, Powell's going to have to close for him for a while. And Powell is not Martin. So San Francisco is going to have a lot of, you know, going to have a close eye on his bullpen over the next few months, because we've talked about it. In your division, you fall back, you have a couple really bad Sims, you could be in a lot of trouble. And that bullpen, to me, is not, you know, nearly what it should be. But in bright news, Noam Faucher appears to be coming up. The man who had never played before in the ABL signed an $82 million extension with San Francisco. Noam Faucher is 23 years old, 24 almost, and he is up. He's a five-star player, folks. Huge gap, huge power, huge eye. He is going to be a superstar. He's just 23. And who's that other gentleman on his team? Let me go to his top prospects really quick.
I have him at 4 stars.
Okay, well, half-star difference, go figure. And Slaughter Ree is signed as well. So San Francisco was not lacking for offense at all.
No, San Francisco has a great – before last year, his team won 100 games in all three levels for 3 seasons running. And last year, his AAA team slipped up and only won 87. AA, 111. Single A, 101. And before you take a look at it, it wasn't due to age. You know, he's got a couple guys, but they're not big specs on the lower end. 24, 23-year-olds, but they're 1.5 stars potential. So it's not like he was flooding the gates there. So,
do I get to discuss the trade that I know that's potentially happening this sim?
We're not there yet. I got the time. Relax. Don't worry about it. We'll get you in. Holy crap.
I at least I asked it and just blurted out. There is still a lot of free agents left as it currently stands. Like I said, I'm going to be doing that that email pretty soon. That'll be fun. Now, if you look actually, Gary, we were talking about, and you've been referencing the offseason summary per team. Number one is San Francisco. Number two is Quebec. So San Francisco, I don't know why I mentioned Quebec. San Francisco, though, one could argue, and I'm not huge on war like some people, but one could argue he's had the best offseason. The Kelsey Sherrill free agent signing was an absolute, I don't want to use the word rape, but it was crazy for the amount of money
he signed
for. That was
a pretty good signing.
Yeah, think so, Vivian, or Vivian, whatever. He is a freaking superstar in this league, and he signed for only, what, like $10 million, $12 million a year, average annual value? It was absurd. I was like, geez, man, he's a super infielder, second base, third base guy. He's a lefty with no splits virtually, and I love that. I've loved that guy for a while. I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did. I mean, of course,
yeah,
he got the two catchers. You know what?
That's one of the reasons that I can't put stock in what the current standings are, because you got Jacksonville right now at 13-7. They're not going to be 13-7 losing this kind of talent.
No. Jacksonville's going to be in a lot of trouble this year. I mean, they still might be decent because You know, Glenn, like it or not, he blew up quite deep system. He really, really, really did. So he's had a lot of players who, over the course of, you know, through their organizational run, has really, you know, especially with losing as many Rule 5 guys as he has, it's really continued to produce fruit off that tree. But that tree is going to be extremely unforgiving, I believe, coming up and going forward. Ray Weeks and Cheryl, just in and of themselves, those are two huge pieces. His number one starter, his best hitter. He could have afforded them. I haven't checked when the last time he exported was. I'm not sure. He lost a ton of Rule 5 guys again this season, or two actually, but he lost five last year. He's released a few guys, and I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. I don't know exactly what he's going to do. He lost two big guys. I don't see him being bad. I just don't see him winning a lot of games this year. Like, your division's so tough. You're not going to sweep him, but he's going to have a lot of one and two series losses to your division.
No, I can agree with that.
You know what I mean? And Cabos, to me, is the fucking wild card in the entire scenario. Cabos has a lot of talent still. They have one of the top pitching rotations in the league. The game has them ranked fifth. They kept on to Bruce Lowe. They still have Phoenix Smith. They have Cabrera. They have the superstar in Sanchez. They have Joe Good, who's like whatever, but is in five, number five guy. They have that other guy's name I can't pronounce. He has a lot of offense. He signed Pittman, who was the number one overall pick in the inaugural expansion draft. He still has Ran. He still has Wang. He has a lot of talent, and he has Israel as well. So, Cabos, man, he could be doing what Jersey did last year. Like, I'm not going to be surprised if Cabos runs off a freaking hot first half. Cabos has a lot of talent. So, he could just – I don't think he makes the playoffs, Gary, but I think he could be good enough just to fuck with you guys. Just enough.
I could see him doing what Jersey did last year, and the only difference between him and Jersey is that Jersey will fade because they're just not there yet. Cabo might be. So Cabo is not going to fall apart like he did. But then again, 2 years ago, that's exactly what Cabo did. Jersey did what Cabo did. So now, is Cabo getting
better?
Cabo
still won 90 games that year. I mean, you know what I mean? He still won a shit ton of games. Hold on, let me get to it. How many games?
88 games was 1 through 5, I think, or 1 through 4.
Okay. So really, I mean, I don't really want to put that on Cabos then. I mean, he faltered a little bit down the stretch, but really, I mean, did he? I mean, playing good teams, you're going to lose games. It's not like he choked. Jersey choked last.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at Cabos right now, and Cabos is fucking sneaky talented. He has a couple guys coming off that. His two starters are on the deal. They're out for a week. They should be ready for the start of the season, and Roker and Gandhi, but my God, he has Gandhi, he has Tony Varela in the minors who has control problems, but I liked him for a long time. Heath, he has another pitcher down there. I don't know, man. He has a lot of players.
Stand by. Let me know if you can hear this. Just give me a little talk a little bit.
What up, sexy? What's going on?
Keep going. I got to find the right thing to pick up. There we go. All right. Hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Holding. I heard nothing.
Okay. All righty. So let me unplug this for a minute. Redo this.
Live audio.
Breaking news. Give it to us.
All right. Sources will neither confirm nor deny, hilariously though, confirming that we have a potential that was my text message. Damn it, phone, you just ruined it. Basically, we have a trade that isn't official yet. It should be official soon. The smaller pieces are being worked out, but the deal in principle is agreed upon where – where's his name? Where Weber from Kansas City will be heading up north to Seattle for Baden Murphy.
Wow.
Yes.
Weber, Baden Murphy.
Yes. Also something very interesting, a player that we both had, Haruka Boom Boom Yoshino. Haruko Boom Boom Yoshino, the middle reliever I had, who I saw had infield ratings, right? We've talked about him multiple times. He's on Cabo, shortstop, Yoshino. He was a middle reliever. I didn't need him. I let him go. You turned him into a second baseman and shortstop. And, you know, he was just playing through the field. You traded him to Eureka in 2024. Cabos claimed him with Eureka. Eureka had put him back to pitcher, but then he moved. But then Jersey put him back to positionally. So he's one of the guys that plays both ways. And he last year in his first ABL season, he hit .293 with a .361 on base and a .477 for a 3.7 WAR. Yoshino, and he's only fun for me and Gary because we've talked about him before. I let him go as a middle reliever, and Gary converted him to an infielder, and very rarely do we see players like this. There was one player back in the day, I believe, that William drafted that was a two-way player. Didn't work out. You probably remember the name if you saw it.
I've had a couple.
But I mean, this guy last year, he had 28 home runs, 100 RBIs almost. Last 2 years, he's had about 50 home runs, 200 RBIs. It's just very interesting to see it actually work out to this.
Well, in 2026, he pitched 26 innings and had a 4.15 ERA. So
I know. I'm looking at it.
The guy was pretty flipping good.
Yeah. This is going to be a trivia question back in the day. And I don't. Going forward, so mark it down, folks. I'm gonna make a trivia question around this one day, but I don't know how we find the person to find it. But he signed a big ass contract, man. $44 million to play shortstop for Cabos. So, good on him.
Yeah, no, I had a guy. I got a guy now. I think. That's played always. I'm trying to find the guy. Thought it was Ken Douglas, but it's not. Oh, wait. No. Yeah, I think he's on my AAA team now, if I'm not mistaken. And I might be mistaken, but I don't think so. Oh, wait a minute. I think I found him. Give me a second. Yes, I did find him. Matt Howard. Matt Howard. He was, I could tell you all about him. I got him in a trade from Duke. We got about 7 minutes left, by the way, so this will kill some time.
Go for it.
I targeted this guy. I was going to take him in the 10th round to convert him to a pitcher. He came up as a shortstop. Somehow, Duke got him in the 7th round and made him a pitcher. In one of our trades back and forth, and I can tell you which trade it was. I think it was – it was with Julio Martinez and Wong. For Lorenzo Soto and Justin Davis, I had Matt Howard tossed into the mix. And at that point, he was a second baseman. That's what he was drafted as. I had him as a pitcher. That's what I was going to use him for. 3 pitches, 57 stamina, stuff movement control is all good. If I throw him into the bullpen, his stuff becomes much better, but he's only good for 1 or 2 innings. But offensively, his contact was 24-34 for gap, power 44, and his avoid K is 51. So the guy was a decent prospect hitting-wise. He hit over 300 all 3 years in college. He only got 2 at-bats in 24 for Duke's 8-ball team and then moved up to Double-A where he hit 198. And that was when I acquired him in a trade. I am not sure what he would have done if he stayed there. However, in 24, I converted him to a pitcher. He went from my A-ball team 1-2 with a 4.91 ERA, and he's slowly worked up the ladder. He made his major league debut in 2027. He went one-third of an inning. He has an ERA plus of 9.99. And then last year, he had a great AAA, came up late in the season. And had a 6.33 ERA. So he didn't pitch that great last year for the ABL squad, for the big club. However, his FIP minus was 103, which means he didn't do that bad.
Look at you referencing FIP minus. I love it.
I got no choice.
It's really, it honestly, out of all the stats like that, that's the only one I don't mind. But I know you
were talking about it before. You know, how is Oscar Hunt a 1.9 WAR and Kim is an 8 or a 9 or whatever the hell he is? And it's, you know, defense.
Because Kim plays
going to go
with defense.
Yeah, but then, but what was Kim's zone rating last year? You can look it up while I go off on this. And I have a feeling what it is it's the solo homers against the, you know, the three run homers, and it's something that these stats can't replicate, and you can't look into. So maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't think it does. So that's one of the things that I'm not really happy with those stats. By the way, I got my headphones thing fixed.
There's just no real way to quantify what exactly, you know, does exactly what. There's no way to quantify exactly how the formula is done, obviously. But the problem then lies not just in that, but when people are trading for these players based on statistics, while they're statistically accurate, they're not always indicative of the entire story. I mean, I've said it before, I look at statistics as supporting tools, but I play this game by the ratings. I mean, I've been very unabashed about that.
See, I'll do that, but I also go by the stats. If you're not performing well, why are you going to perform any better for me at that level than you?
No, but it's now, interesting because
I could see certain guys, though. You know what? I have them in double A ball, and then I trade them, and now all of a sudden they go up to triple A, and they don't do as well. All right, that makes sense. You know what? He's playing a little above his head. Ratings might have shown that he could handle it. Statistics say he can't. That's one thing. We're not talking about that, but I want
to
see what the guy does.
The trigger, you've always been quick to pull the trigger, where I have not. I'm always a believer of talent will win out.
I want instant
for the most
gratification.
Part.
I want instant gratification.
Who doesn't, Gary? But no, I mean, well, you know, when you've been fortunate enough to have a successful run, you can kind of let, and again, this is where I've been fortunate too. I haven't been in that instant gratification position for a while where I really have to worry. So I've been allowed to let players kind of play their ways out of slumps. I've never benched guys for slumps. Never done it, never will. Because I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think it's just going to all even out anyways.
No, it does.
Again, that's just my opinion.
I think the ebbs and flows do even out, and it's a matter of, you know what, you had a bad situation or a bad week or something, let the thing play out and let's see where it goes. But for the most part, I expect certain guys to do certain things at certain points. I try to put them in a position to be successful. If I'm playing a couple of the bottom feeder teams and a guy comes up and has an ERA of 9, yeah, you're not ready yet. Because I can make an argument that the team I'm playing is not an ABL team either. So if you can't do this against them, what are you going to do against the better teams?
This is where the rust factor is so interesting to me, because we don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like the rust, we just don't know how much of it's rust and how much of it's actually ability.
True. And you know what? The game mentions it. So if the game mentions it, it's almost, you know, in the manual, you almost have to take it at face value that, yeah, it is something real.
Well, right. No, it's surely real. It's but just how you can't put a number on it. You know what I mean? Like, and again, this is why I've always talked about, I believe that rust and I believe that talent goes off of games played and not innings played or not at bats. And that's just my opinion. There's nothing that says either one way or the other, Gary. It's just my opinion.
Oh, no. And that's fine. The problem comes in is that when you're in an ultra competitive division, that, you know what? I think in my division, 3-1-6 Sims can sink a team from making the playoffs, no matter how well you did.
Well, you got three. Yeah, you go 3-18.
No, I'm just saying.
Tough.
So you can't afford that. Now, I mean, you can't afford to give away any Sims. But we got about 10 seconds left, so close us out.
Everybody, thank you for joining us for podcast number 18. Will Gary make it on time? And he obviously did. We will try to have another podcast this week or another one before the start of spring training.